pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. This week, you got me and JC.
Howdy.
Hi. Tiffany was going to join us, and because we don't keep secrets from our audience, she had a series of seizures instead. So she's in a very pained sleep right now, and we're just going to keep it quiet and try not to wake her up.
Let's keep it there.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. She was raring to go, too. She got all the links read and everything. We were talking about it, and then seizures. They sneak up on you.
They do.
They're like the Spanish Inquisition.
It's not like, you know, oh, you didn't do these five things. You're about to have a seizure. No, it's like, here it is. Hi.
Yep. Yeah. Welcome to Sunday. Hey, you had a big event over the weekend.
I did.
You did. You gave away your oldest child.
My son has found his life partner, and they have married. They have wed at a beautiful, very beautiful ceremony.
Oh, yeah, touching.
I got to participate in the ceremony, both before we ever did it and, of course, during it. Their mother... was the officiant.
Yes.
And she was like, I'm not going to be able to do that hand fastening thing. I said, okay, I know how to do it. I'll do it. So I got up and did the hand fastening.
You did a very good job. It was very nice.
Scottish tradition, Scottish ritual. It was cool because Michelle and I did hand fastening, and we didn't know, and neither did our minister, that we were supposed to take hold of the ends and pull them through so that you literally tie the knot.
Right.
And that's where that phrase comes from.
Scotland invented everything.
We did. The oath stone means your vows are set in stone. That's where that phrase comes from. There are so many little things about it. I forgot to bring them up to Brigham City where we had the ceremony, and I've got them sitting here waiting to give to them, but I was supposed to give Angus a pound coin and bet a penny, and I would have them exchange it after the ceremony, like during the reception. Mm-hmm. I'd have them exchange them, and therefore, you know, Angus was, you know, bet was in for a penny, Angus was in for a pound. Also where that comes from, so.
Too many punchlines. So, yep. No, it was really pretty. I'm delighted that not only was I invited, but that, you know, your wee boy called me to make sure I was coming because I did the RSVP incorrectly.
Ah.
And that was really meaningful to me. And I just told him flat out, I'm like, dude, I wouldn't miss it. And so I didn't. Though, my funny story is we went up first thing in the morning. My elderly mother needed some help around the house. And we went up and we helped her for a couple, 2-3 hours. And then her elderly friend needed a quick drop in. And so I stopped over there and checked a couple things that might need to be fixed. And then we had to drive all the fuck way back to Spanish Fork because we had, you like this part, a wedding that evening.
Right.
And so I lay down for a minute and start reading my book. And I'm like, I'm going to take a nap. And she's like, I'm going to go do schoolwork. And I'm like, great, this will be fun. And then she's like, I'm going to go check that invitation. And I'm like, yeah, great idea, whatever. It's maybe 5-6. We got plenty of time. And I hear her go, oh, fuck. From the basement. She's like, it's at 3. I'm like, shit. jump up, start ripping shit out of the closet. Got dressed, got in the car, and got there just in time. That's a long drive. That was a little over 2 hours.
It's a 2 hour drive, and I warned you there was traffic, or they're doing construction by Hill Air Force Base on the freeway, yeah, but actually, only on the northbound side. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when we went up,
I was shocked how bad it was when we went up the day before. So I was trying, attention, all folks coming up from the south, which is all pretty much everybody.
Yeah. But it was lovely, and I wish those kids well.
Mm-hmm.
They seem really enamored with one another, and you know what? That can work. That can be a very good basis, is to be besties with whoever you're getting married to. So, you know, I don't know who the fuck I am giving advice. Worst husband ever. Well, not really the worst. I mean, Andrew Cuomo was married.
I think you and Tiffany have a similar relationship to what Angus and Bette have.
It's just I frankly, flat out, and I don't care if you think I'm alpha or not, I just cannot get enough of her. I just can't.
Right.
You know, I mean,
and when you give your heart, this is what I said about Angus in my speech that evening was, when he gives his heart, it's all in. And as long as you take care of that heart, he will do everything for you. He will take care of you in every way. And I think you do the same thing. So,
well, it helps that he's just such a good fucking guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know what better praise I can sing of the young person than just say he's just a great fucking guy. You did a good job with that kid.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And then your daughter cracks me the fuck up. I come around a corner and she's just sitting there by herself. I'm like, hey buddy, you avoiding the crowd, or you just out here for no reason? She's like, oh, I'm avoiding the crowd. Like, good for you. You keep that up.
Yeah, she would have brought her best friend up, but her best friend was supposed to be in Oregon right now, but instead came back early as a surprise, and it was too late to make an adjustment. I mean, I guess we could have, because so many people who RSVP'd
didn't BP, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And worst comes to worst, I would have picked him up.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I just, yeah. I mean, that's really, when people say it to me, I really appreciate it. But I mean, when it comes down to it, man, I adore your kids. They're fucking great. Both of them. They're just amazing. And you did a really good job with them. And I hope that you are as proud of you as I am.
Aw, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a good job. There. All right. I've been emotional. Let's talk about the government.
Let's just add to the emotions now.
I was thinking about
the emotion
Cuomo.
We understand. Anger.
Yeah, exactly.
Rage and fury.
I was thinking about Cuomo. Do you think he can have an orgasm if, like, Casino's not playing in the background?
I don't think he can.
No. No, probably masturbates to Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm.
So, two federal courts on Friday slapped down the Trump administration's bullshit claim that it could not release SNAP benefits during the government shutdown. One ruling in the District of Rhode Island ordered the Trump administration to distribute the November 1 funds as soon as possible. The other ruling in Massachusetts called halting of SNAP benefits unlawful and ordered the administration to explain by Monday how it would fund the benefits in November. Seeing as how Congress, a couple of years back, passed a law and set aside $5 or $6 billion, depending on which news outlet you're listening to, that if the government shuts down, this contingency fund automatically triggers and keeps paying SNAP benefits until it runs out. Trump went, no, which is not only unconstitutional, but against the law.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not going to help. I don't think it's going to help. I don't think it's going to do a goddamn thing, because MAGA's priorities are starving kids, protecting pedophiles, and making sure that you can't get good health insurance.
Oh, and if you're brown, you don't get to live in the country
anymore. Yeah. Oh, shit. I forgot that one. That one's not good.
Yeah, that's buddy. That one's very important.
That's just nuts. I mean, yeah. Saturday Night Live did a little thing where they pretended that the Property Brothers were the ones responsible for the East Wing.
Oh, yeah.
One of the jokes on that was about, can't we get any of these contract laborers for day laborers from, you know, Norwegia? No, there aren't any. There aren't any. But yeah, it's, I don't know how he's going to circumvent the law. Probably just by ignoring it.
It's the misquote of Andrew Jackson that J.D. Vance keeps using. Mm. You know, the Supreme Court made its ruling. Now let's see them enforce it. He will hem and haw the whole time, because as long as people are starving because they can't get their SNAP benefits, it goes back to they can continue to blame it on Democrats.
Yep.
When everyone in the country knows whose fucking fault it is. They're well aware of it. It doesn't matter what Fox News tells them. It doesn't matter what OAN tells them or fucking Newsmax or anything. They know. They fucking know that this is the Republicans' fault. And all the Democrats were asking was, you can't do a continuing resolution unless we also change what we're doing with medical benefits, because we've got a trigger law about to happen.
Yep.
That's going to take away people's medical benefits. That's what they're holding out for. And they're like, they keep voting no on this and this and this. They're voting no because they don't want a continuing resolution. And honestly, here's where I stand. There needs to be a law passed once we get Democrats back in power to say, if there is, if we have a locked vote on or a threat of a veto on a current budget, then what we have paid out into the government is the continuing resolution. There is no government shutdowns anymore. It just continues at the same funding.
Period. I'm fine with that. I think that's a grand old idea.
If we spend all this time arguing over a fucking continuing resolution, yeah, now I'm totally supporting the Democrats on what they've done. I agree why they did it. But we spend all this time arguing over a fucking continuing resolution. We need to stop that. We need to start prioritizing budgeting. And we just need to say, if we can't settle a budget, the budget that we had last year is the budget going forward.
Yeah, I know. That's perfectly fucking reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go with that.
That a law.
We got to write that
down.
We
vote. Yeah. Vote for, find out, talk to people who are running for Congress, House of Representatives, because they're the ones who usually get this going. Talk to them and, you know, the folks in your area that are running, and find out if this is something they would be into, this idea, and tell them, you'll have my vote if you agree to do this. And I don't care what flavor they are. If they agree to do it, give them your vote. Yeah.
And then when they don't do it, we can challenge them to
shut the government down. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense to shut the government down to me. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, you're just fucking with people, making them sad.
Yeah.
Which, for this administration, seems to be kind of their key thing.
That's been their favorite thing ever.
Yep. Yeah. Who can we make cry today? You know? And then, you know, they instead of going after guys like me or you, you know, they go after trans kids.
Yeah.
Because they're just soft little snowflakes. That's why. They go for one of the smallest fucking minorities involved in counting people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, last week I forgot the name Catherine Connolly. Catherine Connolly is Ireland's new president.
Oh, that's fucking brilliant.
She is a left-wing anti-establishment figure who is all about ending the genocide in Gaza.
I love her. I love her already.
Not only that,
there will now be a 64% tariff on all Irish goods. Well,
yeah, more than likely. But yeah, Ireland's president for the next 7 years. 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question, and I'm sure your question as well, What yes. kind of dog does she have?
Oh, I did not think about that.
Because I don't know if you remember the videos, but the last president had Burmese Mountain Dogs. And they were cute and cuddly and funny and would always show up in the middle of important meetings or interviews. If you want to just feel good inside after the ick that you'll get by the end of this show, for whatever reason, yeah, jump onto the Google and go President of Ireland with dog. And it brings up a whole bunch of different different times that the dog interrupted things. And he's just an adorable puppy. So I do. I need to know. But yeah.
Do we know what kind of dogs Catherine has? She kind of looks like she'd have a cat for sure. But I could also see her having dogs.
Yeah.
Probably dogs.
Maybe little dogs.
She'd have like a little dog. And I imagine her having just a pampered house cat who just lays around the house all the time. Yeah. Comes and sits on your lap when it feels like it. Yeah.
Maybe a spaniel.
Something like
that. Curly haired dog. I mean, she doesn't look like the type to swing for the crazy antics of a doodle. She looks more like a more concerned, like a spaniel, like a cocker spaniel. We'll have to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ireland's president. What kind of dog does she have?
Mm-hmm.
I'm straight up right now. I'm reading the emails to myself in my head. I am not being flippant. This is amazing. It's also Ireland, and I have no fucking idea what the president of Ireland does. So I'm not being flippant about the fact that this amazing lady is running the show over there. But from what I understand, the president of Ireland is largely ceremonial, not a lot of executive powers. So they're basically the PR face of the country, and she looks great.
Well,
and I want her to keep speaking out.
When you read the U.S. Constitution, our president doesn't have as much power as we give him.
Right.
He is not supposed to have the level of influence that he has, but from the very start, we fucked that up because we elected the most popular guy in America at the time, which was George Washington, and then the very next guy was the second most popular guy in America at the time, you know, Thomas Jefferson. It's like, we just kept it going. And in reality, the president is just supposed to be an administrator more than anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really have the power. That's Congress.
Well, you know what our chief administrator has done?
Mm-hmm.
Fucked up the Kennedy Center.
Yep.
So the Washington Post ran an analysis of ticket sales from both this year and years past. And one thing that they're finding is that ticket sales are at the lowest point they have been, you know, since the pandemic when it was closed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah,
that's just because people were buying tickets hoping that the pandemic would be over soon and they could get back in. They were season tickets, you know?
Yeah. So since September, 43% of tickets remain unsold for the typical production, meaning that at most 57% of tickets were sold for the typical production, though a lot of them we know are comps given away to staff members and members of the press. That compares with 93% sell-through in fall of 2024 and an 80% in fall of 2023 when we were still recovering from fucking COVID. Now we have, of course, the orange infection, the STD on feet.
Quite literally.
Yeah. And so, it's tanking. It is absolutely tanked. And I am brokenhearted about it. It makes me sad. It really does.
Well, you know what it comes down to? MAGA people don't go to plays unless their kids are in them. They just don't. They don't go see shows. And the ones who do, that's the tiny little ticket sales you get are the ones who come down. You know, the Washington insiders are like, well, I'll go see The Sound of Music one night only and go see it. And it's like, yeah, you're not going to get the crowds if you're not doing something that really has an attraction for people.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump doesn't go to plays. He goes to operas.
That's weird,
he likes being seen at the opera.
That makes sense. He probably sleeps through it. Mm-hmm. And then finally, in what I've noticed over the last decade or so, the largest union for federal workers urged Democrats to come back and end the shutdown. You know, they still, they're demanding a clean funding bill.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Democrats are demanding that any deal include subsidies for people who get their insurance on the Affordable Care Act marketplace. And now the biggest federal union, federal workers union, is like, well, still. This is union people giving money to Republicans. It makes no fucking sense. It's our, like shooting yourself in the dick.
Our workers already have their health insurance, so let's just, you know, bring them back to work.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Like I said earlier, they should never have gone out of work. We should have a constant continuing resolution if you can't pass a budget. That's all.
I agree. All right, let's take a little break. When we get back on the next side. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's Trump news.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire, and as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast. In Tinseltown, we remember Prunella's scales. Why did Disney pull the plug on Doctor Who?
Wake up and smell something!
Which Marvel television series is getting a second season? How did Paramount screw up their Taylor Sheridan deal?
You gotta treat her like a lady.
We watched Tracker, Welcome to Derry, The Great British Baking Show, Star Trek Discovery, For All Mankind, House of Guinness, Dune, and Nightmare Before Christmas.
How come you guys didn't tell me how good Dune was?
Comics, who's Batman taking on in the Absolute Batman Annual?
The answer may surprise you.
What does Fantagraphics have planned for their 50th anniversary? Which old Vertigo property is Grant Morrison revisiting? Review Imperial, Dick Tracy Halloween Special, Green Lantern Dark, The Anthropocene Reviewed, Mortal Thor number 1 and 2, and Clean Room.
You guys, it's so creepy.
All that and Cullen Bunn put out a novel without pictures. Face Front True Believers, it's the world's greatest comic book podcast, available Tuesdays on comicbookpodcast.com and almost anywhere you can find podcasts.
I was going to come back with something witty and funny, but instead what I did was rearrange the order of the stories for this block.
Okay.
So we'll start with the bad news, and I'll end on something pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
To be completely honest. But starting, you'll like this, gang. Remember when then-President Joseph Rosinet Biden and his Consumer Financial Protection Bureau did their best to remove medical debt from your credit score?
Yes.
Yeah. That's fucking great. That was amazing. That is bipartisanly popular. Much like marriage equality is bipartisanly popular, no matter how many Mike Johnson say it's not.
Yep.
However, Trump administration's current devolution of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau issued guidance this week claiming to prohibit states from removing medical debt from people's credit reports, claiming that the Fair Credit Reporting Act overrides or preempts state protections that prevent the high cost of being sick from ruining people's credit scores. 15 states banned medical debt from credit reports, including California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Minnesota, New York, New Jersey, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, Virginia, and Washington State. Hey, I'm pretty sure if you read through all those states, you can get an abortion there.
Yep, every single one of them.
So yeah, the guidance comes as millions face 100 to 300% increases in medical insurance premiums due to the expiration of the Affordable Care Act tax credits. The issue in, it is the central issue of the government shutdown. As Democrats work to try and restore those credits.
Yeah.
I mean, even on the local news, because that's where I'm at now. Even on the local news, story after story keeps pouring out, especially on Fox 13, of people that are, now that we have triggered open enrollment, especially in the marketplace, people that were paying between $50 and $150 a month for their health insurance are now expected to pay upwards of $800 to $1,200 to $1,600. And in some cases, depending on how many members are in your family, upwards of $4,500 to $5,500 a month. And if you're shopping for insurance on the marketplace, you're not fucking rich.
And you're buying insurance that automatically comes with a deductible that will not... You must pay, meaning now. So now you're paying $1,400, $1,500, $1,800 a month for your insurance, and then you've got a $5,000 to $10,000 deductible that you've got to meet if you really get sick before anything really triggers or kicks in for you on the insurance. It's a fucking scam. Honestly, we need to. We just need to drop insurance and say fuck it.
Sure,
I'm going to go to my doctor. I'm going to say, I don't have insurance. I expect you to charge me fairly, not insurance rates.
Yeah.
I will go to a different doctor.
Yeah. Under the Biden administration in 2022, the CFPB took the opposite stance about whether states could ban medical debt from appearing on your credit report. Chi-Chi Wu, Director of Consumer Reporting and Data Advocacy at the National Consumer Law Center, says the 180 degree about face is one of the reasons that the new interpretive rule should not have a persuasive value. The problem is, this is me talking now, is that it would have a persuasive value to the court.
Yeah.
So the court could use it in lieu of, quote, expert testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very damaging. Very, very dangerous. But you know what? They want us to have babies because we keep killing people. And it's really what it is.
Well,
they need a victim base to make us work shitty hours for shitty pay.
One of the arguments for immigration, one of the main arguments for immigration is white people aren't having as many babies as we used to have. And we are losing out on people we need people to do the jobs to take care of our aging population because there were so many fucking boomers who seemed to be hanging on for this long.
Yeah.
Despite their diets.
The greatest generation, they be banging.
Yeah.
They're making babes.
And they're not only making babes, they're making super babes who could live into their 80s and 90s, you know?
Yeah.
We're seeing people in our generation dying out at a lot faster rate than the fucking boomers are.
Oh, it's because they poisoned us with lead.
It's true. But yeah, that's one of the arguments for immigration is where do we find the people who are going to do the work to help care for these individuals, to provide things that these individuals need, unless we allow a much broader amount of immigration. And, you know, on top of that, the farms need the migrant worker program back for farms. And we have all these things that have been ended because of some dipshit who just decided he was too racist to handle it.
Yep.
But now they're like, oh, no, you can't have an abortion because we need more babies anyway. Yeah, but once I have the baby, how do I keep them alive if I can't fucking afford it? You know?
No, it's a song we've been singing since the 70s.
Yep.
It's the song that we sang before the Industrial Revolution and after. You know, it's I don't know. You wonder why they can worry about if there's enough white kids having around, but they won't do anything about prenatal care. They won't do anything about postnatal care. They don't do anything about health of the mother. They're just like, keep cranking out babies. They don't. We've talked about it before when we're talking about vaccines, but if you go to graveyards, you would see a lot of little kid headstones. Very young, dead kids. And then around the 50s and 60s, you didn't see as many. Hardly.
Yeah, it just stopped. Yeah. It was weird. It just stopped. No, and it wasn't that our immune systems got better. It's we invented vaccines that prevented these diseases that were easily killing children from killing them.
But you put the two and two together with RFK Jr.'s bullshit and the fact that now we can't afford our health insurance even more than we couldn't before. And on and on and on. Mm-hmm. All you're looking at is an infant mortality rate that is going to shoot through the fucking roof. So I can't have an abortion, but I can be dragged in to die in childbirth and probably take the kid with me.
Yeah.
Because I haven't had any fucking prenatal care.
Mm-hmm. More than likely.
Oh, it's just, I mean, they just want to go back to the fucking dark ages. And that sounds so fucking hyperbolic, and it's not.
It's not. It really isn't. It's going back to a time that they don't even fucking understand. They don't realize what it was like back then because they have no memory of it. Their parents may have told them something about it, but they don't remember. It never affected them in any way. RFK can say no vaccines because, you know, sure, he was vaccinated as a kid, but he doesn't remember it. He vaccinated his own kids because that was just what you were supposed to do. But now he's like, oh, I don't think we should have vaccines. It's like, you're alive today, Bobby Jr., because you got a vaccine. Mind you, he may never have gotten sick because he had, you know, he came from a very wealthy family who would have kept him protected from all that shit. But still, it's like, you weren't alive to watch kids, you know, had to suddenly know that a kid in your class died from getting the measles or from getting polio. You weren't alive for that. You were too young for that. You're a boomer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, maybe your parents may have known it, may have not have known it because they were, again, very wealthy. But still, it's like that shit was happening so much back in the day.
Well, that's one of the things in the book I'm reading right now is one of the chapters that John Green was talking about and I can't remember what the fuck the book's called because it's in the other room. The Anthropocene Reviewed. But how when you take apart the historical plagues all the way to, you know, mostly current modern stuff, 1940s, 1950s and stuff like that, clear economic demarcation line between people that died and people that didn't. The more money you had, the more your kids lived.
One of the movies we like to watch over the spooky season is Mask of the Red Death.
Mm, yeah.
And that one involves, you know, the prince played by Vincent goes in to visit, you know, he's going through a town and he's about to kill these two guys who spoke out against him. And this girl's interfering. He takes a liking to her. But then he walks in and he somebody screams. He goes into the tent and sees that she's died from the Red Death, which was a made up thing that Edgar Allan Poe had made up.
Sure.
But the whole point of the movie is that he thinks he's safe in his castle with all of his wealthy friends and the Red Death comes for them. But in reality, it was more likely you were safe with all of your wealthy friends having your little orgies in the castle because you were well separated from the unwashed masses.
Yeah.
And didn't get the fleas on you, that kind of thing. But, you know, you talked about this way back at the beginning of us doing the Left Show, how... even under the Bush administration, there was a concerted effort to make America stupid, to take away our education, because that means you don't have a voting. You have an easily manipulated voting bloc. As Donald Trump said famously in his first campaign, I love the poorly educated.
Yeah,
because they will vote for me because they will only listen to one thing. Again, going back to the Kennedy Center, they don't go see hard-hitting dramas and plays, you know. They don't want to think. They just want to be able to have some fun, have a beer every now and then. Yeah. Meanwhile, they're fucking you over if you get medical debt. They're fucking you over from having health insurance. They're fucking you over from everything that could make your life legitimately better. And they're taking away the education that we so desperately need in this country. So that people aren't as, you know, aren't voting stupid, but people are continuing to vote stupid.
They're really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good at it. And the truth is, I think half of them are voting exactly because that's what they want to vote for, not because they've been duped into it. Because there's a lot of dumb out there, but that dumb seems to be, running hand in hand with insane bigotry and racism. Misogyny.
Duping is a convenient excuse. It's a convenient reason. I can, you know, somebody who was voting against, who was voting for Trump because they don't like all these Latinos coming up into the country, can say, well, you know, it's the price of eggs. Yeah. I'm like, oh, really? Has that cost gone down? Well, little.
Yeah. Not really. I just went and bought eggs.
Yep, not really at all.
Nope. It's still where I go, fuck, I can't believe I got to pay this for eggs.
Once they found out we'll pay that amount for eggs, guess what eggs are going to cost now?
Yep.
Yep.
Very frustrating. All right. In the same press conference where she insisted that ICE officers must keep tear gassing children over Halloween to keep them safe, Homeland Security Chief Kristi Noem said that the current federal invasion of Chicago actually extends to five other Midwestern states. Speaking at the airport in Gary, Indiana, perhaps to give the impression that Chicago itself is far too dangerous for her to visit. Noem said that the Operation Midway Blitz deportation purge includes Indiana, Chicago. Indiana is a state. Chicago is a town. Mm-hmm. Illinois. And the area that the field office covers. So she's like, we're everywhere.
Field office covers.
Yeah.
Indiana, Wisconsin, Missouri, Kentucky, and Kansas?
I guess. But,
I mean, that's what it says here. And I'm like, wait, that's a weird connection. Like, Kansas just out in the middle of nothing because I'm like, well, at least Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Missouri and Kentucky all sort of link up. Where's Ohio and all of that? Kansas, though.
Well, you can figure that out. You can put that two and two together real quick. It's where migrant field workers live.
Yeah, it's where the migrant field workers go. And again, if we had a migrant worker program, we wouldn't need to worry about this shit. Because they would, I mean, you remember that from when we were younger.
Yep.
They'd come in for a season, they'd do the picking, they'd collect more money than they would normally make back home in Mexico or wherever, and they would turn around and go back. And then come back the very next year.
I did have occasion, as I'm sure many other people did, to go back and listen to some of the, you know, speeches of Reagan to see if there were some fucking pearls I missed.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? There were. His I'm on my way out of office speech. Have you ever heard? Do you remember it?
Yeah.
It was all about you can move to France, you can move to Japan, you can move to Zimbabwe, but you can't be French. You can't be, you know, but you can move to America and you can become an American. And that's what makes us special and strong and et cetera, et cetera. You know, he was welcoming. Fuck, amnesty. That's the weird 90s trip over, is they would start going, you know, bitching and moaning about amnesty. And it's like, well, Reagan gave amnesty to millions.
Yeah.
So what the fuck are you talking about? You know,
how many people did we, I mean, yeah, it's just,
it's disgusting.
Makes no sense.
Just disgusting.
Well, it makes sense if you consider they're all racists. So yeah,
that's true. The other thing is they're liars, as we know. And one of the things Noem's been doing the last couple few days over this last week is saying, and I quote, there's no American citizens that have been arrested or detained. We know that's bullshit.
That's bullshit. That has happened.
Yep. She said anything you hear or report that would be different than that is simply not true, which is simply not true because we've talked to the Americans that they've taken.
Yep.
You know, it is really easy for a flat-assed white woman to stand in front of reporters and lie her ass off about all of her racist antics. It's very easy, especially when this particular press has completely fucking denutted themselves to the point where they'll just stand there and let the One News Network, or what is it, One American News, whatever, OAN, and just ask Trump questions about how fucking awesome he thinks he is.
Yeah.
And they just stand there and fucking take it like it isn't an absolute people taking a shit on their fucking profession.
Well, there's an arrogance there. Because for one thing, they're like, they're up there going, oh, well, you know, these guys, Trump, they ask a hard hit. They even try to ask any question to Trump. He calls them stupid and won't answer their question.
Yeah.
He belittles them right there on, you know, on television. And then the ones who get to answer the questions are the soft ones, are the soft need this cult to hold on to because it's the only thing that makes sense in their weird little life. They immediately say, oh, this is the truth right there. And it's not. It's not even fucking close.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't even just look at it as troglodytes. I mean, fuck. Remember the Heaven's Gate cult?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, poison themselves. Over half of them had PhDs. And we're like, how do they believe that some alien spacecraft was following behind the comet, was going to take their spirits up and deliver them to a heaven place? It's because they needed something to hold on to because their lives were too bleak to actually get into it. And they joined a cult. MAGA is a cult. People have gotten into it thinking, well, my life sucks now. Maybe I got to follow this guy. He was great on TV when he was, you know, doing the Apprentice stuff. Maybe I can follow this guy. And these people fall into the cult and don't realize what it's doing to them until it's too late.
Yeah.
So they drank the Kool-Aid.
Lindsey Graham.
Oh, my stars.
And it was at this point, ladies and gentlemen, that we lost the recording. The whole machine just froze and crashed. So we're going to end the show here. We're going to go over and do some Patreon here because that's what we do. Otherwise, we'll see you guys next week with a much fuller show.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DFenMedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.